Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Art Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as Cole Palmer apparently is open to a move to Manchester United. A big Elliot Anderson bid's going to go in. We'll also be talking about how Harry Kane nearly signed for Manchester United. Belabor, what's really going on with him. Also, we've got some other bits about a world tour for Michael Carrick. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. And I'll tell you what, I did actually, on my way back from the shops this morning, listen to a section on the overlap about Michael Carrick with Neville, Scholes, Keane, Scott and Wright. And basically saying Carrick has to stay. I just completely disagree with this. I completely disagree with this. And it's nothing to do with Michael Carrick. There is clearly an element of cowardice at Manchester United and in the wider fan base to call out what we all bloody know. You can say, I think this is going to end in tears. You can say this is a massive risk. And you can say this probably won't work. You can't sit there. You know, for me, it's accountability. You know, it's like making a decision. And then when it goes wrong, saying, well, I didn't think it would work, but you didn't say it at the time. Manchester United will give Michael Carrick the job. We know they're going to give him the job. But don't tell me that this board isn't cowardly and they're not ruthless either. Like, you know, all I keep hearing, and it was the same thing. It went around the room. Jill Scott even said, Carrick's doing a good job. It's a bit like Southgate at England. And I thought, you know what? What a comment. What a comment. You're absolutely right. She literally said, he's doing a great job at Manchester United. It's a bit like Southgate at England. Well done, Jill. Well done, Jill. You're absolutely bloody right. But then they go around the room and Scholes, who you can tell doesn't want Carrick to get it but won't say it, says, if it can't go to Enrique, I can't give it. You go to Roy Keane, who you know doesn't want Carrick to get it, and he's going, look, if you can't get anybody else because they're too expensive or they're in a contract, give it to Carrick. And then I think Neville says it as well, you know, if there's nobody else, give it to Carrick. And I'm like, shut up, shut up, shut up. That is so cowardly. This is Manchester United. You can't do that. You're falling for their nonsense. You can't go give it to Carrick because there's nobody else to get it, or give it to Carrick because we can't get Enrique, or give it to Carrick because we can't get somebody out of a contract. Well, Manchester United. I know Michael Carrick's going to get the job, by the way, and I will back Michael Carrick, and I do like Michael Carrick, but I am allowed to say that I don't think it's going to work. I am allowed to say I'm terrified that we're going to make a big mistake. And I'm allowed to say that there's no reason to think it's going to work. And I am allowed to say that I think it's cowardly and it lacks ruthlessness from the owners to just go along with it and go, well, we can't afford anybody else. We can't get anybody else out of the contract. Michael's got some good results, so we're just going to stick with this. You're Manchester United, you bloody idiots. Look at PSG. Last night, look at PSG, go to Bayern Munich, a cauldron of Munich fans and, you know, tactical flexibility. Last week, they played Bayern off the park and score 5 goals but concede 4 themselves. Last night, they go and play on the counter like Arsenal. Brilliant, brilliant manager who is changing the game. Changing the game. Luis Enrique is changing the game. Yeah, but we can't pay £20 million a year. Atletico Madrid pay £30 million a year to bloody Diego Simeone. Oh, we can't pay £20 million a year. You can't pay £20 million a year to the guy that will revolutionise the bloody football club. What do we think the going rate for a good manager is, by the way? Because we're happy to play between £10 and £20 million a year to Rashford and Bruno and Casemiro, but we won't do it for a bloody manager. The club lacks ambition. Bottom line, the club lacks ambition. It's got nothing to do with Carrick. It's got nothing to do with Carrick. He's done a good job in, you know, difficult circumstances with very limited experience. Carrick's done a very good job. But don't try and tell me that this is the right thing to do. And it's definitely the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do because the club's cowardly and going to hide behind fan sentiment when everybody knows that in business and in football, fortune favours the brave. There is a braver decision. You go and get the best in class and they won't do it. They're not going for best in class. They're going for cheap, inexperienced, who's done well as an interim. And it should be called out. So when I see shows like Carrick Must Stay and they're all sat there going, there's nobody else, I think, bloody hell. Bloody hell. You know, legends of the club saying there's nobody else. Come on, say what you really think. You know what you really think. Say it. We shouldn't be giving the job to Michael Carrick, but we're doing it because the board lacks ambition and they're cheap. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with saying it because it's not my decision. It's not your decision. When Carrick gets the job, which he will, I'll back him. But nobody can tell me that this is the right thing to do, the ambitious thing to do. It isn't. It might look, you know what? And if it works, people will say, you were wrong, Goldbridge, you were wrong. And I'll go, well, look, he's done a good job, but I still wasn't wrong. Did we go and recruit the best available manager out there, or did we go for an interim that had won a few games? We went for the interim that run a few games and we gambled and he got it right. We didn't go for best in class. We didn't. It's literally like getting in your car and driving to London and not looking at what your petrol gauge is. If you get there, you're lucky. You did have enough fuel. Or you can look at it and go and buy the fuel so you make sure you make it. United are just driving there and hoping they're going to get there. They're not going onto the petrol forecourt and buying the fuel and making sure they get there. They're just, you know, they're keeping the money in their pocket and they're going with what they've got. Boom, mic drop. Anyway, I needed to get that off my chest because I just think it's ridiculous that people go, I don't mind the people who go, give it to Carrick, by the way, but it's the people who go, well, there's not really anybody else, so give it to him. What a crap excuse that is. There's not really anybody else, so give it to him. If I was Michael Carrick watching the overlap this morning, I'd go, well, that's not really a vote of confidence, is it? They're all just basically saying, I'm a bit like Southgate. There's nobody else. Let's see what happens next season. It could all go wrong by Christmas, but there's not really anybody else out there, so give it to him. That's just not it. Dirty says, change the record, yawn. How's about go and watch something else, mate? Can't deal with it. Can't handle the truth. Can't come back with a decent comment. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it when people say, change the record, yawn, because it means I've won. I've clearly won because that's all you've got. If you've got a good, better comeback, come at it. Right, let's get into the show. We're going to talk about news, actually. Although that was news, I was reacting to something. So, first and foremost, what's this Cole Palmer story? Well, it's quite an interesting one, actually, because there is a writer for the Daily Mail who is their Chelsea correspondent. And he put out something yesterday saying there remain sources who continue to claim Cole Palmer would consider a move to Manchester United privately. Chelsea's stance is that they would reject any and all approaches for Palmer and he's going nowhere this summer. Look, I think that the interesting thing about Cole Palmer is, and there's two stories this morning, the Anderson bid one as well. Cole Palmer to Manchester United would happen if Chelsea were open to selling him and Manchester United wanted to sign him. It would happen. I believe Cole Palmer would sign for Manchester United. But what we need to understand is that there will be multiple players out there that would like to sign for Manchester United but won't because the circumstances don't align. And it was very interesting what Benny McCarthy said about Harry Kane, and I'll talk about it in a moment. But whether you want Cole Palmer or he wants Man United or not, Chelsea are not going to sell Cole Palmer this summer and Man United aren't going to move for Cole Palmer this summer. And Cole Palmer himself has done, you know, the bit of, I don't want to go back to Manchester. But I think the Cole Palmer story for me, I'd like to draw a line on it under it today. I don't know about you, Fink. There has been a few stories about him over the last 6 weeks, 2 months. I think this needs to be the last one. Look, it's out there. It came out yesterday. You know, Cole Palmer would be open to a move to Manchester United, according to sources. But Chelsea won't do the deal. Man United won't pay the deal. And that's the end of it. And we're probably going to go for Morgan Rodgers. Now, would I go for Cole Palmer over Morgan Rodgers? Yeah, I probably would. I think the type of number 10 that Cole Palmer is, he's more delicate. He's more of a link player, whereas Morgan Rodgers is more take people on. But we're not going to go for Cole Palmer. It's not going to happen. Chelsea, I don't think, are going to be in that financial situation where they have to do that deal. And we're going to keep Bruno Fernandes. So it won't happen anyway. And it just needs to be moved on. The other story is Elliot Anderson. Apparently, there's going to be a huge bid for Elliot Anderson. Now, this has come in from your friend and mine, Indy Kayla, on X. We've got Ben Jacobs on the show at 2 o'clock. We can get clarity on this if you want to. But the clarity on this is it's total and utter bollocks. We are not about to put in a huge bid for Elliot Anderson. It is not the way Manchester United operates. It won't happen. And just as a public service announcement for those people who might think there's something going to happen and might actually believe that source, we are not putting in a bid for Elliot Anderson that is huge. We are not putting a bid in for Elliot Anderson at all. Manchester United do not bid for players until the player has decided they want to come to Manchester United. And then what we do is we go to the club knowing that the player wants to come us, and we spend 2 months negotiating before we put that bid in anyway. United don't go knocking on the door in early May when Anderson hasn't decided he wants to come to United and go, there's £100 million. We just don't operate like that. And also, Forest will not even entertain any bids whilst they are still in a relegation battle and in a Europa League battle as well. So it's bollocks. It's complete and utter nonsense. And it doesn't mean that we can't sign Elliot Anderson until he's holding up a Man City shirt. I still believe it's possible that he could come to Man United. Why wouldn't you? The chances are he will hold up a Man City shirt. The chances are it's quiet round Elliot Anderson because he's going to sign for Man City, but Forest won't do anything until they've resolved their relegation and Europa League campaigns. But Man United won't bid today. They won't bid tomorrow. They won't bid next week. They won't bid the week after that. They won't be bidding at all until Elliot Anderson says, I've chosen you over Manchester City. So it's nonsense. And again, look, part of the news show is to be, you know, on it and, you know, clarity where we can give it. Absolutely. Interestingly, on Belabor, this was coming in from Alex Crook on TalkSport, who, as I've always said, to be fair, when it comes to Brighton, he has got very good sources. The Carlos Belabor itch has never really been scratched, even though he's not had a stellar season at Brighton. I think the recruitment team at Old Trafford see him as someone who can complement Maynou, because again, that shows how far Maynou has come from a sort of bench warmer who wanted to leave to a first team regular. They're not looking at someone to replace Cobby anymore. They're looking at someone to go in and play alongside him. And that could be Belabor. I think they're willing to forgive the fact he's not had a great season with Brighton. They still think he's got the attributes, but it will come down to price. Ultimately, there was a story in The Athletic that they might be able to get Belabor for 50 million. I've got to tell you, sources at Brighton laughed at the suggestion that he could go for 50 million out of town. They still see him as potentially sort of Caicedo level of money. It's going to be really interesting to see where they do actually settle, but the options are there. Look, you can't argue with that information because it will have come in from Brighton. Brighton are laughing at 50 million for Belabor, and they want closer to what they got for Caicedo, which was 100 million. I think we're all in agreement that even if Man United met Brighton halfway and gave them 75, they are morons. They belong in the zoo where people can go, this is what a moron is. And it says moron, and you look under it and it says, this is Wilcox and Berarda. They're called morons because they spent £75 million on Belabor in the summer of 2026. So look, we have this situation where United clearly like Belabor. They put him on that top shelf with the likes of Anderson and Tchouaméni and Tonali. And they really do think he's a good signing. And that's clearly where we are. And that probably is more scary to me than giving the job to Carrick, because, you know, maybe Carrick will do a good job. But spending £70 million on Belabor is terrifying. I can't justify it in my head. But that's clearly where we are. United continue to scout Belabor, and Brighton continue to say, we want £70 million for him. It's an interesting one because yet again, and look, the comments are popping off here, and we will get more clarity on this from Ben at 2 o'clock as well. But what I find really interesting about this again, and we did a video on Monday night, you can go and check it out, but I'll summarise it in this sense. Carlos Belabor, comparable to Casemiro or Tonali or Wharton or Anderson, is abysmal at passing. Abysmal at passing. Like, most of them are averaging 45 or above passes per game, with a good 20% of them being forward passes. Belabor is like down nearly 30 passes per game, and most of his passes are backwards or sideways. How does he complement Maynou? How does a player like that complement Maynou? Maynou's passing rate isn't that high either. But you put him with Casemiro and they match each other up. Belabor is the misprofiling of Belabor. Or worse, It's not the misprofiling of Belaba, it's what they think they can turn Belaba into, which is even more scary for £70 million. Now, look, let's pretend I'm wrong. Let's pretend Man United look at Belaba and go, he's nowhere near the player he could be. We reckon we could turn him into Rodri. We reckon we can turn him into Declan Rice. We reckon we could turn him into Casado, right? That's even more scary because he's not that. So you're going to spend the money on a player that you've then got to nurture into something that he's not at the moment. You see what I mean? They're misprofiling him. It's a fact. They're misprofiling him. You watch him this season and last season, he doesn't actually play like a player that would complement Mainoo. He plays like a player that would play where Mainoo plays. I think Belaba is more of a energetic box-to-box midfielder. That's not really what Casemiro is. That's not really what Tonali is. So we're misprofiling him as well, which I find even more scary. Somebody just said, how many years has he got left on his contract? They've got an option for a further year and he's 2028. So he's got 2 years left on his... I know why you're asking. You're talking about the price. Why the hell are they asking for 70 million? Because I think that... And this is a complete and utter guess. But if you're Brighton, I think you're looking at it and you're going, you've got a very big chance of being in Europe next season, which is great money for them. They've got a decent manager. They've got a decent squad. Belaba's had a bad year. If you sell him this summer, you sell him on the cheap. I think this is what Brighton are doing, right? And I understand it, right? Belaba last season was decent. I know there was a lot of buzz around him. Belaba this season has been terrible. And a lot of people, myself included, have gone, last summer, I'd have paid the money. This summer, I wouldn't pay the money. And some of you don't understand this, like, because I said, last summer, just go and pay the money. Pay £80 million. Put add-ons into it. We need a midfielder. That was based on a good season. A year later, I'm like, don't pay the money. Now we've seen the truth. You know, he probably would have flopped. Don't pay the money. But Brighton will look at it and go, after that 1 year, we could have got 80 million. After this year, people are saying he's worth 50. We don't need to sell. He's got 2 years left on his contract and the option of another year. The only thing stopping us, making us want to sell, is if Belaba's like, I want to go. But this is not the right time for us to sell. He's not coming off the back of a good season. So let's keep him for another year. So I think Brighton are like, we're not selling him for 50 because we'd rather keep him for another year. I think what Brighton hoped would happen, and you've got to blame Belaba for this. I think Brighton, when they said no last summer, were thinking we'll get one more year out of him. He'll have a good year and we'll definitely be able to get that £80 to £100 million. But because he's had a bad year, we're all going, well, if we're taking him, we want a reduced price. But I think Brighton are going, hold on a minute. Last summer, we were asking for 80 to 100 and we didn't sell him. We're not selling him a year later because he's had a bad season and reduced his price. We don't need to sell him. So if you want him, it's still 70, 80, 90 million. If not, we'll keep him for another year. And I think that's where Brighton are coming from. Because a lot of people in the chat saying, who do Brighton think they are? But I think when you look at it from a Brighton perspective, a year ago, you probably would have got 75, 80, 90. You're not going to get it now because of his performances. But they don't need to sell him because he's got 3 years left on his contract. So I think they're thinking, look, if we don't get the 70 million, we won't. We want to keep him for another year. I think that's where they're at. What did you like about Belaba in 24-25, says Keel? Good question. You know what I liked about Belaba last summer? I remember him coming on against Man City last season at half-time and changing the game with his energy. He got the ball and drove with the ball and really sparked Brighton into life. He didn't sit in the holding midfield role and win the ball back and protect the defence. He got the ball and made things happen. He was energetic. I've always seen Belaba as an eight. I've always seen him as a box-to-box energetic player who can spark your team into life. And, you know, he's a bit raw. You know, he's got a strange running style. But and I think he's a player that plays on... I mean, that's probably why he came on at half-time. I think he's a player that when he's hot, and when he's cold, he's cold. But this season, he's been nothing like that. The only game I've seen him look a little bit like that was Chelsea a couple of weeks ago. So there's a lot of work there, Keel. There's a lot of work there. So David Brailsford is no longer a manager, Manchester United director, a club company filing says. Yeah, well, he's not been around for a while, has he? Belabor is slow, similar to Ugarte. It's bonkers they want to buy one and sell the other, says Rory. Daniel Thompson says, I think that he will go to City, but if United are serious about Anderson, then they need to stop the spin and messing around and do something now. I'd like Palmer one day, but need to solely focus on midfields and fullbacks. Thank you, Daniel. Hope you're doing very well this morning. I agree with you on that. Know anything about Bayern's coach being added to the staff, says Keeping Real. Mate, I think the source on that's really bad, but I would expect United to have to bring more coaches in this summer with Carrick anyway, because he's, you know, Johnny Evans isn't really a coach. He's an ex-player that's retired and gone straight onto the coaching staff. So maybe we will bring other people in, but the bottom line is Steve Holland's still going to be the assistant manager, isn't he? And that's the person that sort of dictates the way we play with Carrick. Mike says, I stand by the fact that if they appoint Carrick, he will not last 12 months because lack of ambition by Wilcox and Moments FC will fail. Would you take Lewandowski on a one-year deal, says Rishab. I cannot believe we are still being asked this question on the regular. At least once a week, somebody says, would you take Lewandowski on a one-year deal? Absolutely not. He's about 92. Are we not tired of taking people like Ronaldo and Zlatan and Cavani right at the end of their career? We can't be short-term like that. We can't be short-term like that. We've got to start building for the bloody future. Like, if you're Man City, maybe you take Lewandowski for a year because you're top of your game and you just use him. But, like, we can't do that. Is there any chance we get Luis Enrique? I saw a tweet from Beth where she said, maybe Luis Enrique wins the Champions League again, says I've done everything at PSG and now wants a new challenge at Man United. I absolutely love that theory. I absolutely love it. And maybe there is something in it. He's not signed the new contract with PSG yet, but everybody is indicating that he will. And the biggest problem is that if Luis Enrique said to Man United, I've won the Champions League at PSG 2 years in a row, I'm always going to win the French League. Yes, I could try and win the Champions League 3 years in a row at PSG, but ultimately, I want a new challenge and I want the Man United job. I guarantee Man United say we can't afford you. I think even if Luis Enrique said to Man United, I want the Man United job, I think it sounds great. I want to rebuild Man United. You know, I've done it with PSG. I've done it with Barcelona. Now I want to do it in the Premier League, which he will do. Luis Enrique at some point is going to come to the Premier League and the chances of it being Man United are slim. It'll be Chelsea, it'll be Arsenal, it'll be Liverpool, it'll be Man City. It will not be Man United because you know what? Even if he knocked on the door of Carrington this morning and said, give me the job, they'd say, we can only give you 10 million. And he'd go, are you having a fucking laugh? I want 20 million. And they'd go, no, we can't afford it. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Would Tonali, Tchouaméni, Ederson, Ramos and Lewis Hall be a good transfer window, Mark, says Smugs. Yeah, people need to stop believing the bullshit about Lewis Hall. It's crap. In fact, we'll ask Ben Jacobs about it today just so he can confirm it as well. This Lewis Hall story, we've got to start calling out the spin. It's fake positivity that disappoints you in the long run. We need to focus in on real stories. We need to focus in on reality. Lewis Hall is not coming to Man United. It's complete and utter bollocks. Morning, Mark. I hope PSG win the Champions League and he's ready for a new challenge because he won it all in Paris. He still hasn't signed the new contracts as Red Devil Germany. We can live and hope. We can live and hope. It's not a risk if recruitment is right. Next manager will have the players still, says George. I think he's talking about Carrick. I don't want Southgate, so by default, I don't want Carrick. We are being forced into a narrative where Carrick will be coach, and this is forced on us by the club who have no ambition. I love that statement. I love that statement, Mike. I think it's absolutely true. There is a cowardly narrative coming out of the club that Carrick is the only option, and I do not think for 1 minute it does Michael Carrick any favours. I'm very passionate about this. Michael Carrick was a fantastic player and is clearly a very, you know, self-assured, intelligent, capable coach. But tell me out there now who is telling a story that Michael Carrick is the best person for the job because he's a brilliant coach. Nobody is. Nobody's even doing that. It's so hypocritical. It's ridiculous. People are saying give it to Carrick because he's won a few games and he's the only option in the shop. And that to me is massively disrespectful. He should be getting this job because he's the best option for the job. And even the people that want him won't say that. And that's what I mean about cowardly. Carrick's got to get given the job. Give the job to Carrick. Carrick has to stay. And then you talk to those people and they go, well, who else is there? They can't afford this. They're not available. You know, this, that, but that's not a reason to keep somebody. That's like staying in a marriage to make the kids happy. It's very noble. It's very moral. But, you know, if the love's not there between the two of you, it's fake. It's short term. I would rather people went, give the job to Carrick because he's the best manager out there. Give the job to Carrick because he's an amazing coach. But no, people won't do that. They go, give it to Michael because there's nobody else at the moment and he's done a good job. You know, the real challenge will be next season. And that's the thing. I've not heard anybody come out and say, forget Enrique, forget paying Emery out of his contract, forget Nagelsmann, forget Iriola. Carrick's better than all of them. Give him the job. Nobody dare say that. Nobody dare say that. And look, that's not you being held accountable. That's not the overlap being held accountable. That's not bloody Ferdinand or anyone else being held accountable. The only people that are accountable are the board. The only people that are accountable are Jason Wilcox, Omar Berada and Sir Jim Ratcliffe. And there's absolutely nothing coming out of the club again. And I think this is really important. Whether it's Jose Mourinho, Erik ten Hag, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Ruben Amorim or Michael Carrick, it's radio silence from the people in control. It always is. Who fronts up every week? Michael Carrick. When was the last time we had an interview from Jason Wilcox or Omar Berada? I mean, hello, you sacked a manager in January because you fell out with them, not because of results. You sacked a manager in January that had only been here for 12 months that was meant to be rebuilding this club over the next 5 years. You sacked that guy and you've said nothing for 5 months. It makes me sick how cowardly our board is. There is no communication. There is no leadership. You stick Michael Carrick in the job and you leave Michael Carrick. Every week it's Michael Carrick doing the interviews. Nothing from Sir Jim Ratcliffe, nothing from Berada, nothing from Wilcox. In this position of instability and uncertainty, no leadership. Just Michael Carrick in front of the cameras every week, who is an interim or, you know, whatever he is, okay? So we're in this position again. Cowardly leadership. Same with ticket prices. Same with the stadium, radio silence. They run the club from a bunker. They don't front up to anything. They don't say anything. You know, if this was like Dortmund or Munich or Madrid, they'd be talking to their fans about ticket prices. They'd be talking to fans about the stadium. They'd be talking to fans about what's happening with the manager. Man United, no. Happy to take your money, not happy to communicate. And it's the same on every principle and it's always been the same. So look, they're going to give the job to Carrick. We know they are. They're going to build a new stadium. We know they are. But you won't hear anything about why they're doing it. You won't hear, you know, where is Jason Wilcox coming out and saying, Michael is clearly one of the best coaches in Europe at the moment. And, you know, he's a massive candidate for this job. We're running a process, but he's an incredible coach. Where is all that? He won't say it because he's terrified in 2 years' time of that quote coming back and biting him on the arse. The policy United seem to run is say nothing and then when it hits the fan, nobody can really say it was your fault. But it is your bloody fault. You're the bloody director of football. You're the CEO. You're the owner. You make the decisions. Have the bloody balls to stand up and back your decision. Show some bloody leadership. If they start coming out and saying all this stuff, maybe we'll be inspired, you know? Maybe we will be inspired. Palmer Anderson, I'm dizzy from United Spin, says Marlo. Thank you very much for that, Marlo. Okay, we move on. Somebody said, have you heard what Berbatov said? Well, it's almost like the world tour of PR, isn't it? Somebody said to me yesterday, why do you think United haven't given the job to Carrick yet? And I was listening to what Paul Scholes said this morning. And he was praising the club. He says, to be fair, the club haven't been overreactive. You know, normally you beat Liverpool, you qualify for the Champions League, there's a five-year contract. They haven't done that yet. So Scholesy was saying, you know, it's quite, you know, quite complimentary to the club that they've not been reactive and just handed the job to Carrick after winning against Liverpool and getting the Champions League football. But personally, I don't think that they're not being reactive because I think we all know they're going to give the job to Carrick. So I don't think they're like not being reactive would be, well, we don't care whether you've beaten Liverpool or you've got the Champions League football. It doesn't mean you're getting the job. We're still going to interview a load of other people. I don't think they're doing that. I think they're... I don't agree that they've gone, oh, even though he's beat Liverpool and he's got Champions League football, we're a bit worried about giving it to an interim again and maybe the results are a bit, you know, misleading. Let's interview a load of people. I don't think they're doing that. I think they're going, we know we're giving him the job, but when do we announce it? What day is the best day to announce it? A bit like Mainoo's contract. We knew he was signing that contract for weeks, but the club are like, what's the perfect day to announce it? I think they're waiting for a certain day to do it that suits them best. I think it's probably about PR in the sense as to when they're going to announce it, because you and I know 100% Carrick's getting this job. I think he knows he's getting the job. I think the contract's probably already sorted. And look, that's an important thing as well. I don't think Michael Carrick sat there at home going, am I getting the job? I think his agent's already been at Carrington and sorted out the terms of the contract. I think it's there. I think it's done. I think it's just about when we announce it. And trust me, as somebody who's worked on deals throughout my life, a deal could have been done 2 months before it gets announced. So I think it's done. I just think they're waiting to announce it. And that's why I think on a daily basis, we almost get this world tour of PR. You know, you had Ahmad yesterday, Casemiro the day before. I mean, look, this is what Berbatov said, and I'm pretty sure Berbatov still has close ties with the club. He said, of course, Michael Carrick should get the job. There is work to be done, but for sure, looking at where the team were with all the problems and now they have improved, if you ask anyone, 99% will say, of course. Well, I mean, I'll come back to this. For me, it's a no-brainer, he needs to stay. The team qualified for the Champions League. The team is playing free-flowing football and scoring goals. This is from Berbatov. I mean, I think Berbatov probably spends a lot of time in his garden doing keepy-ups, the keepy-up king, because he clearly doesn't spend that much time watching Manchester United, because if he thinks 99% of people think Carrick should get the job, I can tell you it's not 99%. And if he thinks we play free-flowing football, scoring lots of goals, he ain't watching Man United. We win most games by one goal. We win most games with less than 50% possession. And shots per game and goals per game has actually dropped since the previous manager. So no issue with him as him saying Carrick should get the job, but that's just propaganda. That's not actually true. We're not playing free-flowing football, scoring loads of goals, and 99% of the fan base don't want him to get the job. So again, it's just this constant PR world tour, isn't it? But I don't mind if somebody says something I actually agree with. Actually, that's not fair. I don't mind if somebody says something logical. It's the bollocks that annoys me. Like, we're not playing free-flowing football, scoring loads of goals. Far from it. We're winning most game by one goal. The results are fantastic. They are entertaining in the sense that you're always on the edge of your seat. But again, I don't think 99% of people want it. So look, yes, he will get the job. 100%. He will get the job. I think United are just running this PR campaign. And I think we'll beat Sunderland on Saturday. I think we'll beat Forest the following week. And we'll probably beat Brighton. And then the guy gets his hair cut. We've probably won 5 or 6 in a row. And I think they'll be able to say, look at how many games he's won. So I think they're going to do it right at the end of the season, when we've won a few more games, and they can go, well, look, what else do you expect us to do? We have to give him the job. I think they're almost like convincing themselves. They're waiting for the optimal moment to go, well, what else could we do? I think what they're waiting for is the fan base to be at 99% and say it's the right thing. I think they're looking for that Ollie thing where everyone's singing Ollie's at the wheel and they sort of go, well, look, you wanted us to do it. I think that's cowardly. And I think that's what they're doing. I think they're waiting for the optimum moment to say, yes, we've given him the job. And that optimum moment will be when the vast majority of the fan base say, yes, let's do it. Because that's weak. That's, you know, leadership isn't waiting for the masses. Leadership is leading from the front. Leadership is doing, you know, the best in class option, even if people don't agree with you. So the answer of why they haven't given him the job yet, I think they're waiting for that moment where everybody's going, give him the job. So if it goes wrong, they can go, well, you asked for it, which is what Solskjaer was. Nobody with Solskjaer, including myself, could say, oh, shut up, Glazers and whoever was the director of football at the time, because I was dancing around saying Ollie's at the wheel. It's very hard to say it was a mistake when you were dancing around saying, let's do it. And I think the way this football club is run, we're very cowardly around footballing decisions. So I think we're waiting for that optimal moment, if that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, also, somebody in the chat said, also, we're probably waiting till the end of May, start of June, so that we don't have to buy players, which, you know, maybe or maybe isn't true. Personally, I would be more happy if they just gave him the job today and got on with transfers. Obviously, I'd be more happy if they actually ran a process and gave it him in June, having interviewed people, but I don't think they're going to do that. So I'd be happier if they gave him the job today and got on with the transfers. What I want to see now is Man United making signings, basically. I think we've got Champions League football. We've got a huge summer ahead. I just want us to get on with signing players. And the manager appointment is going to take time where we could be focusing on other things. My stance is very clear, and I think a lot of people are like this. I don't think it's the right thing to do to give Carrick the job, but he's going to get it. I'll back him. Let's get on with the summer transfer window, because where we're all in agreement is Carrick's not had a transfer window, and he has to be given a very big transfer window, just the same as any other manager has to be given another, you know, a massive summer. So I want to get on with the summer. I want to go with the summer. Jig says Brailsford's gone. I don't even think that's breaking news, mate. I think Sir David Brailsford's been gone for a long time. He's not been mentioned for a long time. I don't even think it's breaking news. He's not been mentioned for ages. Exactly, that's what GVN says. What are these guys on? Brailsford left a long time ago. Yeah. I don't think he's been involved for a long time. It's not been mentioned for a very long time. Other bits of news for you. Did you see what the PSG sporting director said about Enrique last night after the game? Luis Enrique, he stood right next to him on CBS, and he said, Luis Enrique has sparked a revolution in football, not just for Paris, but football as a whole. He's the best coach in the world. Yeah, he won't be signing a new contract. He won't not be signing. You watch that clip. There is no way he's not going to sign a new contract at PSG. He's got his sporting director or CEO stood next to him with his arm round him saying, Luis Enrique has sparked a revolution in football, not just for Paris, but for football as a whole. He is the best coach in the world. And you can say it's oil money, but that's how you run a fucking football club. Arm on the shoulder of the best manager in the world. We are sparking a footballing revolution here. We've got people who hide in the background, cowards. Little bit about Fernandes this morning of West Ham, not Bruno. Liverpool are apparently sniffing around him now. Their priority is Adam Wharton, but Liverpool are apparently looking at Fernandes as well. So it might not be a clear run at him. Keep an eye on that one. Look, you've always got to keep it in your mind. As I said, this hasn't changed from yesterday, but there's the hotometer. Ranked by what we think are the most likely signings United are going to make out of 10 at the moment. Fernandes is there on a 5. What you got to factor in with all of that? Smash a like on the video for the hotometer, by the way. People like it more than me. But the point is, we don't know. We don't know who or what United are going to do in relation to the transfer window. With regards to competition. Belabor, there'll be no competition for, which is probably why he's at the top. Anderson, Man City. Edison, Atletico. Tonali, probably Arsenal and a couple of others. Wharton, Liverpool. Maybe Chelsea. Fernandes, at the moment, Liverpool. Stiller, Juventus. There's competition for players. And this is why you need to get on with the window very, very quickly, because there will definitely be competition for these players. on a high level. And if you're not quick, then if you snooze, you lose, basically. So even with someone like Fernandez, it's not a clear path. Even with someone like people, you know, if you take someone like João Gomez, I think with João Gomez, there is this whole, is he the right guy? Isn't he the right guy? But there may well be competition for that. There may well be competition for that. Garfield says, I'm in Montenegro going for my prostate awareness 10K walk now. United said I can walk perimeter of Old Trafford also. Good luck with it, Garfield. If you can get us the link, we can pin that in for the 7 o'clock show tonight. I don't know how you can get us the link, but maybe if you put it on a comment, it probably won't be linkable, but we can copy and paste it for the show. Stretford Signal says, who gets the job when Carrick's gone in November? I don't, you know what? This is not contradictory. This is part of the reason why I think it's a mistake. If you give Carrick the job, he can't be sacked in the first 2 years. I think there are people out there that say, give it to Carrick, but in the back of their head, they're thinking, if it goes wrong, we can just sack him. I'm saying, don't give it to Carrick, but if we give him the job, you can't sack him after bloody 18 months, which is part of the reason why I don't want him to get the job, because I think it could set us back for years. I don't believe in sacking any manager in the first 18 months. With David Moyes, I never wanted Moyes, so I was happy when he got sacked. But in hindsight, who sacks a manager in the first year? Same with Amorim. Like, we can't give Carrick a contract and then sack him within the first 12 months. It would be ridiculous. So, but I do know people who want Carrick to have the job because there's nobody else. But if it goes wrong, let's sack him. Almost like he's a placeholder for a better manager. That's wrong. I don't agree with that. And I don't want Carrick to get the job, but I like Carrick. I don't want him to get the job because I think it's a mistake. I don't want him to get the job and be a placeholder. And I don't want him to get the job and be gone in 6 months. And I don't think he will be. I think if the club make this decision, they know they're going to get absolute pelters if and when it goes wrong. And I think they'll dig deep and, you know, stick by it. Look, there is a situation where we give the job to Carrick and we're in the top five next season. And he'll stay, regardless of the football. We could play, you know, Southgate ball next season. If we finish in the top five, we'll get another year. Because they'll be happy with that. We could also try and play more expansive and finish ninth. And be out of Europe again. Nobody knows what's going to happen, but I think if you give somebody a contract, it's a bit like signing a player. You've got to give them 2 years. You have to give them 2 years. If we give Carrick a transfer window, we can't sack him a few months later because we need out of rinse and repeat cycle we're stuck in. David, I think that might blow a few people's mind because that's about having the best interests of the club at heart, having an opinion, but also not running an agenda. I don't want Carrick to get the job, and I've explained it why. I think he's inexperienced. We're only playing one game a week. I think some of these players have turned the light switch on, as they did with Ollie. I don't think the style of play beyond the surface is sustainable. And ultimately, I don't think the coaching team's good enough. That's the reason I don't want to give him the job. I'm not on the board. They're cowards. They won't have that conversation. They won't step up to the plate and go, maybe there's better options out there. So, but once you give him the job, don't you be trying to cover your arse by blaming him in the first 12 months when it goes wrong. Have a look in the mirror and blame your fucking selves. If you give him the job and then try and sack him for bad results next year, I'll be right at the front of the queue saying, bang, out of order. You had all the information, all of the information, and you gave him the job. You better fucking back him now. Don't give him the job knowing all the risks. And then when it goes wrong, go, you're out. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. So if they give him the job, better give him bloody 2 years. I think we can sign good players, but not longer term managers because quality managers want control and the board wants to be in control and have the manager be the fall guy, says VX. Patrick Lynch says, finances is the biggest stumbling block. More than the previous two seasons, they're talking about being prudent. I'd be shocked if we do anything truly ambitious this summer. They're completely risk averse. I think, Patrick, beyond the manager, it has to be ambitious. It has to be ambitious. Arsenal will drop 100 million on a couple of players this summer. they might be Premier League and Champions League winners, and they'll drop 200 million on players. Man City will do the same. If we're not ambitious, we'll fall backwards. This could be the Mourinho summer, where he finished second and the teams behind us were all more ambitious and we dropped and he lost his job. Like, Carrick in third place is decent. If we're not ambitious, all those underperforming teams like Liverpool and Newcastle and Chelsea will come again and we'll drop, because we ain't catching Arsenal and Man City. So next season for me, third place is probably the peak. If we're not ambitious, we'll drop. The board clearly wants someone who doesn't challenge them, does what he's told and keeps the players happy. So yes, Carrick is the best option, says Patrick. Keel says, at this point, I'd rather they just get on with it. Me too. Carrick over Nagelsmann, people astonished me, says Constantine. Daniel Thompson says, as I yourself and everyone else has says, use the funds for belabor towards top quality like Tonali, as paying that little extra for top quality will go such a long way and help us succeed. No more mistakes. Thank you. Some great comments in. Remember, tonight's show is at 7 o'clock, by the way, because I am watching Villa against Forest at 8 o'clock on Match Football. But don't forget to tune in at 2 o'clock today, because we've got Ben Jacobs on the show and there is a hell of a lot to talk about in relation to what's going on with certain players and where Manchester United are. And there was a comment there that really caught my eye. That was it. That I will definitely get into Carrick for you. 8,000 watching. Thank you very much, everybody. As always, really, really appreciate it. Enrique shouldn't leave PSG, especially if they win the Champions League. They have an opportunity to be ranked among the best ever sides. G-Man, to be honest with you, watching their sporting director or CEO or whatever stood next to him with his arm around him last night saying that this guy is a football revolutionist, you know, he's the best manager in the world. There ain't no way he's leaving. Zidane won 3 in a row at Real Madrid. You don't walk away from that. I know what Beth's saying, and there is an element of I've done everything I can do at PSG, but he could win 3 in a row. And he hasn't done, I don't think a guy like Luis Enrique is going to be struggling to get a job when he decides to go. And ultimately, if PSG win on against Arsenal, yes, there's an opportunity to go to the Premier League, but that opportunity will be there next year, the year after that, the year after that. Even if PSG got knocked out in the group stage, in the league stage, and finished fifth in the French league next summer, he's won 2 Champions Leagues in a row playing great football. There'd be a massive cue for him. Enrique will go next summer. Imagine this, right? Imagine this. Man United give it to Carrick. Next season's okay. We finish fifth. People are sort of like, it's not great, but you know, whatever, right? Enrique leaves PSG. Man United have Carrick, who's doing okay, and Enrique goes Liverpool. We won't get Enrique because when it comes to managers, we never collide at the right time with the managers being available. It happened with Ollie. It happened with Ten Hag. And it happened with Van Gaal. There were summers where really good managers were available and we had a manager. Enrique won't leave this summer. He won't leave. Why would you leave when you've got a great surrounding, you're on good money, you've got a great relationship with your owners and you can go and win 3 in a row? If he beats Arsenal, of course. I'm writing off Arsenal there, but if he beats Arsenal. Great show today, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to tune in at 2 o'clock. Ben Jacobs is on the show. Obviously, you can go through all of that and we'll get a load of questions into him. I'm back with you at 7 o'clock. Andrew says the board will... Sorry, let me read this. Andrew says, Context Kid wants Mbappe. No. Rishab says, Carrick is as bored, wants a pawn. Also, why is fullback not priority? You can expect Shaw and Delo against Kane and Dembele. We're going to be cooked. Andrew says the board will be terrified to give Enrique the job because if it goes wrong, the blame falls solely on them. If it goes wrong with Carrick, they can use inexperienced manager excuse again. I hope if it does go wrong under Carrick, that people call out the real people, the board, who knew the risks and still did it. Business people making poor decisions can hide behind staff. These Muppets have nowhere to hide, and that's why there is no decision on a manager. We are run by cowards, says Double D. Can't get here much, but big up to you and the amazing chat, says Rob Always United. You're a legend, sir. Thank you very much. Is Ancelotti not an option for us? No, the only wise guy. There are options. There's Nagelsmann. There is Emery. There is Iriola. There's probably a few more as well. Remember, next season is the season Ratcliffe meant we're going to win the Premier League, says Tobias. Yeah, we're not going to win. We're not winning the Premier League, are we? Take care, everyone. Stay safe. Get back at 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock, and I'll speak to you on the next one. Thank you very much for watching.